call into session the April 9th, 2009 session of the House Subcommittee on Workforce Development. Welcome to everyone. We have a rather large group this morning. I want to thank everyone for coming out. Our subcommittee had carried over from our last meeting House Bill 2951. I'm going to very briefly open House Bill 2951 for a public hearing. Is there anyone in the public that wishes to testify on this bill? Last and final call. Seeing no one here, I'm going to carry that bill over to the committee's next meeting, and I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2951. With that, I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2398. Kevin, would you please bring us up to date on this bill?
Chairman Witt, members of the committee, the long-anticipated sequel to 2398 has finally graced our desks. As an initial matter, I'd like to on a personal level, give a big thank you to Legislative Council, specifically Charlie Cheek, who really put up with myself and some other people to get these amendments out. He really busted his tail to do so, and we really appreciate that. Before you, as I said, is the Dash 2 amendment that came out. I know a lot of people haven't had a chance to really analyze it. It did come out late yesterday. I tried to, obviously, the committee members, it was sent to you. I think there's some copies in back. You will recall that we had some previous testimony. We had the board up to kind of describe what the bill as it currently constituted would do. What we've taken from that is kind of work through and come up with some concepts that figured could move forward during this session to assist and help people with respect to workforce development within the state. And members of the committee will recall that we sent around a chart. This is kind of your easy, before I start confusing you intensely, the chart of basically the concepts. And in those concepts, we touched on creating a career readiness certificate, an essential trainer training program, the WorkSource Oregon Centers, to expand and create a what we call the ACE Academy model. You recall we had some an informational session discussing some of the success that the ACE model had in trying to incorporate pilot programs with respect to that, as well as creating summer youth programs and also an inventory. Looking at the amendments, that is in large part done. The first part of the amendment specifically addresses the career readiness certificate, lays down basically the need for an assessment and what this certificate's going to entail, which is essentially having people being able to go and give a tangible example of the skills that they have retained. Along with that, and kind of folded in, is the creation of an online database that will serve as a repository of both the career readiness certificate's attainment data, so the information they pull off. It also will provide online access to program that enables employers to determine skill proficiencies of those who had the CRC and some other issues as well. The amendment next discusses the creation of a workforce delivery system within the community colleges and workforce development department, and gives rulemaking authority to create that workforce delivery system. Next, the bill discusses, and I'm not going to go into a whole bunch of details with it, but with respect to the pilot program that somewhat mirrors the ACE Academy model we spoke about and creates a mechanism to get grants to get some of these programs potentially off the ground, again emphasizing potential collaborations between public and private to assist juniors and seniors in particular to be able to learn specified skills as they apply to specifically architecture, engineering, and construction. Again, we had talked about the amendment itself contemplates more than one pilot program. The discussions were perhaps focusing more on lines in just Central Oregon, but this, I think, gives some flexibility to look at places, other places in which we could incorporate that kind of pilot program to teach these skills, to get these kids acclimated to the work environment as quickly as we can, again, maximizing these collaborations between public and private. Finally, the bill also, and it also creates a fund, essentially, where grant money can be deposited to fund these ACE-like programs. And finally, the other big issue that this touched on is obviously the summer youth program for 14 to 24-year-olds and a mechanism. Again, you'll recall that a lot of this summer youth program is going to be funded, if I remember correctly, with the WIA dollars that would be coming in as a part of the stimulus program as well. And this kind of refines that and puts, I guess, what I would say within the parameters of the federal government's requirements, kind of an Oregon spin on it as well. I would note there is going to be the need for one other quick change. There were a couple of things that were inadvertently left in the amendments or left in the bill that probably should have come out. We're going to make probably one more amendment to remove those, more of a technical fix than anything else. But that is the gist of what you have in front of you right now.
Kevin, thank you very, very much. That was a tremendous job at reviewing what is a rather complex bill to this point. We have gone through many hours of testimony, a whole lot of hours of writing and contacting folks and trying to get this right. And I just want to note that for everyone's benefit, we had started out this session with a very comprehensive workforce development bill. We have had to focus on some essentials that will help target workforce development as well as economic development in this state. And throughout the past couple of months that we've been working on this, we have faced the challenge on a day-to-day basis of trying to promote both workforce and economic development within the parameters of a grossly declining state budget. That has been a challenge, and as a consequence, this bill may not have every single item that every single person who's interested in workforce and economic development would like to see. Chief among those would be your chairman. But this is going to represent a significant shot in the arm for both employees and employers in our state. And not only is it going to be a shot in the arm, but I believe that this bill is going to serve as an economic stimulus for our state, and it's going to give both our employers and our employees a competitive advantage in today's marketplace. With that, today is a work session, and we have a list of witnesses that we have asked to give testimony. I am not sure that time is going to allow us to open this up for general comments. Again, we are in a work session, but we certainly want to get to comment on the professionals within workforce and economic development here today on the amendments as they have been proposed. And with that, our first witness is Commissioner Preuss with Community Colleges and Workforce Development. And for the record, I would just like to acknowledge the very, very, very significant work that she has done in assisting both the chair as well as our committee administrator in bringing these amendments to you. Folks, you have no idea how many hours have gone into trying to draft concepts that have been all over the map. Commissioner, we are eternally grateful to you. Thank you and welcome.
Well, good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, I am Cam Preuss. I'm the director of the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development, and it is a pleasure to be complimented on doing my job. So thank you very much. I wanted to just briefly talk about What is the Career Readiness Certificate? We do have a number of people here who want to talk to you about their perspective about the Readiness Certificate, but first I thought an overview of what is this thing and why should you care might be important. I do have a set of handouts that should be in front of you. They're pretty brief. I want to additionally thank the chair and the governor for sitting down together and deciding what things ought to be in 2398 and then tasking committee administrator and myself with finding the words to fill in behind those concepts. So without your leadership, Mr. Chair, we wouldn't be at this place. So I thank you for that and the members of the committee. So in the CRC could be thought of as a separate spinning plate out here as just one more good idea, but I wanted to put it into the larger context around education and workforce development, and I want to start with the educational attainment goals that Oregon has around 40-40-20, that 40% of Oregon's citizens should have a bachelor's, 40% should have an associate's or professional certification, including an apprentice or journey person's card. And 100% of Oregonians should finish high school. And once finished, then they perhaps don't go any further. But the whole reason for that education, those percentages, is that they would, at least in the minds of many within the business sector, would equate to economic vitality. So when we look then at that middle 40, and that's what we're going to concentrate on today, 52% of Oregon's jobs in the next decade are still going to be middle-skill jobs. And you had a report here not long ago about a very specific report on Oregon's middle-skill jobs. And they aren't disappearing. In fact, they are definitely holding their own. What Oregon lacks that other states have is a way to credential those middle-skill jobs if they aren't an associate degree or certificate. And the CRC helps with this, helps to begin to build that certification. In the Oregon Business Plan, the 2008 version, there was actually a recommendation in the Education and Workforce section to adopt and fund a Career Readiness Certificate, and I've just pulled that out in slide 3. Well, why would a business association care about a CRC? Well, the Oregon Business Council and Oregon Business Association, I think, are locked together in this educational attainment interest because of its because it does equate to economic vitality. So slide number 4 talks about why employers at the ground level would care about a certificate. And later, there's a slide that shows you that over 27 states have adopted this same career readiness certificate. So it has portability and more mobility for both the employer and for holders. But employers are reported to really like the CRC because they know what it stands for. I would like to tell you that I know and you would know what an associate degree stood for, and you can, but sometimes you don't know that actually translates to a set of skills and knowledge that's applicable to a job. The CRC does that translation. And those who actually hold a career readiness certificate know that what they're bringing to an employer is solid insight into what their skills are. Employers in Oregon and across the nation use the CRC for screening, for hiring and promotion, as well as for targeting employee development. The genesis of Oregon's Career Readiness Certificate really came from the Oregon Workforce Investment Board, our statewide board. They did a study from their manufacturing group. They had a strategic planning group of manufacturers back in 2005 and 6. And one of the things that group brought forward was that Oregon really needed a way to certificate the skills of individuals. And so it has been under their leadership, they tasked the department with beginning the look into how would Oregon do this, how would we fund it. My first question was, were employers beyond this group that had been a strategic planning group, did employers across the state really care? So the first thing we did was a series of focus groups around the state to ask the question. And the answer came back nearly unanimously, yes. Employers thought it would be a very important way to certificate skills. So in our investigation, we found that, again, the 27 states, I think when we started there were like 22, now they're 27, that have adopted this certificate. It is provided by, and you'll see, I think we're on slide 6, it is provided by ACT. It's a product called Work Keys. It is a confidential. It is secure. Sally can't take it for Bill. They are proctored tests. They are within a certain time frame, and it does measure skill. The certificate then is based on a series of occupations. It's not necessarily academic assessments. It's skills and knowledge that translate to jobs. But the Work Keys assessment does assess all levels of jobs. The three areas that are part of this assessment are reading for information, applied mathematics, and locating information. And the reason there are those three areas is because ACT and Work Keys in their work nationally with employers have said, if I know where people are in these three skill baskets, if you will, or bundles, then I know how they will do on a job, whether it's a retail clerk or an engineer. And I'm serious about that. It is the full gamut of occupations. In order to know that, ACT and Work Keys have done something that is called profiling. They have profiled 15,000 different occupations. Those, I think it might be 16 now. Those occupations are in a database. And so when a new employer joins, let's say right now we're working with Solar World in Hillsboro to profile their solar voltaic technician jobs, at least we're hoping to do that. I shouldn't say on the record that we're going to do it. We're hoping to do it. But what we would then know is what level of skill would be necessary for someone to come to Solar World and be a productive employee for them. There are three levels of the CRC, and you can see on the next slide, bronze, silver, and gold. Bronze means that if you achieve a bronze level, 35% of the occupations that are available in the state, you would be work ready for that percentage. For a silver, 65%, and for a gold, 90%. So let's say that right now you come to a community college or a WorkSource Oregon Center and you're interested in receiving a career readiness certificate and you achieve a bronze level, but the job you want is silver or gold. The next slide has described as a companion piece that we have here in Oregon and we're implementing, and that's called WIN. And WIN is a set of online tools that if you, let's say you are a 3 in applied mathematics and the job you want requires a 4 or a 5, it's an online self-paced tool that you can use that will build your skill to that level. And then you can go back and take that portion of the career readiness certificate and achieve the level that you need. And then that is certificated, and an employer will know that you've moved from, or an employer may not know. They'll just know what level you have achieved. And the last slide is the map of the states that have currently using CRC. Some states are doing it statewide. Some states are doing it regionally or very locally. Or Oregon would propose, and certainly the legislation would propose that it be a statewide effort. We have piloted this, and you'll hear some examples this morning about the pilot effort we have undertaken, and We actually have in the audience behind me, that first row is full of people who work at community colleges and workforce development. They work with me. We said if we're going to begin piloting this assessment, we ought to know what it's like. And if we're going to talk about it and help provide technical assistance in the field, we should have experience with it. So all of those people who work at CCWD stepped up and took the assessment. And we're not going to ask them if they're silver or gold. But you can bet they're all gold.
I'd get lead.
lead. And there are some people, myself included, who have not taken that test anxiety. So I have yet to be a CRC recipient.
Vice Chair Huffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Cam, is there an optimum time in a person's life that it would be best for them to take CRC, or is it something that you might take more than once? You take it when you're 21, and then you do some skilling up, or you get your associate's degree, and then you take it again?
Mr. Chair, Representative Huffman, more the latter. It is not age-specific. When we first talked about it and the Workforce Board first talked about it, they thought of it in the context of adult workers who did not have a high school diploma or any or credentialed post-secondary education as a way to certificate what they knew. And but now, one of our most successful pilots was at Lebanon High School. So there are, it runs all age groups, and certainly as you mature and have more work experience, you could take it more than once to show the progression.
Follow up, please. Actually, it's not a follow up; it's a totally different question. But anyway, Cam, how are we going to promote this throughout the state? Through WorkSource centers, of course, but how are we going to get the word out? Is it going to be done at the high school level to prepare students that this is advisable for you to work into this at some point?
Again, Mr. Chair and Representative Huffman, yes, one of the aspects of the funding that we have requested, and I should probably have said earlier, this is actually in the governor's recommended budget for the department. It's currently, we have just finished Ways and Means, and there we did request that the fund source shift from general fund, which is how it is in the governor's recommended budget, to federal funds, so that we have a fund, so we have a fund source for it. Now I've got the question.
How are we going to basically get the word out and market it?
Yes. Well, you will hear from several business organizations, and they have stepped up and agreed to partner with us to help get the word out. We are also in conversation, of course, with the Workforce Board, who has a communications committee, with the State Board of Education and Superintendent Castillo and members there, to make sure that it is also part and parcel of their communication. But there is money in the budget request to do marketing.
Will it be encouraged at WorkSource centers, employment department outlets, community colleges, when students or prospects come in?
Mr. Chair, Representative Huffman, yes, we have just done an invitation for proposal to the 17 community colleges and the 7 workforce investment areas, and asked them to bring forth innovative ideas about how to promote and implement the CRC across the workforce and education system. So we got some very fine responses to that proposal invitation. So I am expecting that we will want to do a coordinated marketing effort, but we have people who stand ready to assist in that in all 36 counties.
Thank you.
Representative Holby.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Cam, I'm curious about the WorkKeys job skills assessment system, I guess, and how that is that just a set, because I'm not really familiar with it. Is that something that's already, I guess, in stone, or is it going to be flexible so that, you know, Oregon can I guess, work with that? Because some of it, I assume, is a written test, you know, and some of it may be, you know, looking at skills. And so I'm just wondering the measurement of that assessment and how that's going to play out in our institutions around the state for consistency.
Mr. Chair, Representative Holvey, it is standardized. The reason for the levels are so that an individual in increments of skill level, it can be certificated. There's not a lot of flexibility for Oregon to change the assessment. There is flexibility for us to ensure that individuals who might have, like I do, skill or test anxiety or just difficulty taking a test, it is available both online and in a written version, so that hopefully we get past that piece. But it is, the reason it is standardized is so that employers across the nation and across Oregon can have confidence that a level 3 or a level 4 means that the individual achieved that level. And that's why it's also important to us to have the companion tool that if you're not at the level you want, that there's skilling up available for you. Hope I've been responsive to your question.
Yeah, that helps. Thank you.
Committee members, I know that there are a number of us that have questions, but if we could, if it's germane to where we're at right now in the commissioner's presentation, I'm going to allow that. But I'd like to give her an opportunity to complete her presentation before we get into a full-blown questioning.
Mr. Chair, I think I'm finished.
We're there?
I'm finished.
We asked enough questions that we got to the end.
I'm anxious for the people behind me to have an opportunity to address you as well.
Okay, very good. Representative Dembrough.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And maybe the subsequent speakers will get into this, but I'm curious about, you know, just the sequencing of, you know, when somebody would take the test and then how the further education fits in. So if you're a student, you know, if you're a dislocated worker, say, and you are going to take advantage of your time unemployed to skill up, is that a point where you would take the CRC, the work skills test, as a kind of assessment, or would you go through the regular community college assessment process, work on your skills, and then take the test? I'm just wondering how this will all play out.
Mr. Chair and Representative Dembrough, it's a both and. And I did neglect to say that right now the WIN assessment is available across the state through the workforce integration that the Employment Department and CCWD have undertaken. So right now, more than 60,000 Oregonians have been assessed using the WIN. In what I affectionately call the product box. So once you have that initial assessment and you have a conversation with a career coach in the workforce centers, if your skills are low, you can be immediately directed to skill building out of the product box. If that's not your choice and you want to instead sign up at the community college or some other vendor to increase your skills, that's also available. The beauty of the WIN assessment and a curriculum building tools are that they are free. And usually what I know is that community college tuition is not. So we are hoping that the online tool provides that service for an individual so they can build their skill. They can then, there are places in the state where a CRC can be provided at a WorkSource Oregon Center. That's not the norm now. There are also community colleges that provide the CRC. Again, not the norm yet because we are still in pilot or testing stage, beta testing.
Additional questions? Kim, I know that the amendment talks about a repository of certificate attainment data, and could you kind of enlighten us on that, how that serves both the needs of employees as well as employers?
Mr. Chair, excellent question. I did ask partners from Economic Development to join us today, but given my late request, they were unable to. But one of the reasons that they're excited about this is that Oregon will have a database, and it will contain where individuals have certain bronze, silver, gold levels, and what one could do if you were an economic development recruiter. You could say, I have shovel-ready land, and oh, by the way, I have a shovel-ready workforce because I can tell you by zip code what bronze, silver, and level, bronze, silver, and gold level individuals live within this zip code. So this was really why I got very excited about it when the state of Virginia made a presentation several years ago and said, you know, it's been great for workforce development, but it's really been a boon for their statewide economic development because they can know. So it is a promotional opportunity for economic development as well as for individuals and individual businesses. That's what the database would help us know.
Thank you. And I understand that the governor has a signing ceremony going on today. Could you tell us a little bit about that, please?
Yes, Chair Witt. The governor has been a real proponent and advocate of the Career Readiness Certificate. That's why it's been in the budget, his recommended budget for two biennia. And we do have in Oregon over 200 individuals who have earned the Career Readiness Certificate through our pilot implementation. And in concert with this hearing today at 9:30, he is going to have a signing ceremony and sign a handful of those certificates to help give a boost to this legislation and to that piece of his budget that would promote the CRC.
And subcommittee members, we have been invited to that ceremony, so we will be finishing our work a little early today so that we can attend that. Cam, I just want to recognize all the work that you've done for and with this subcommittee, earlier a committee. During the 2007 session, we did a very in-depth study of just what the needs were in terms of employers, employees for workforce and economic development. We wrote a report that you were essential and instrumental in helping us write that, and without your assistance, it wouldn't have happened. During the 2008 session, as well as the interim, we did additional work. We updated our report. Once again, you were there for us. And then this session, as I say, we would not have been able to complete the writing of these amendments without your assistance. Every step of the way, all of the work that this committee has done in the last two sessions, we have relied very heavily on you and the community colleges and the folks behind the scenes that have assisted us. Thank you so very, very much for everything that you have done.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Like I said, I appreciate the compliment for doing my job, and you could just say my middle name is Workforce Development. I'm going on my 20th year here, so it would be a mouthful.
That'd be a long name.
I'm just very gratified that it's an important subject for you all to be here, to listen, to make policy that really forwards Oregonians and their skill and knowledge into this 21st century. So I appreciate your work as well.
Well, you are a shining example of what our community colleges do for our entire state. Thank you for everything.
Thank you.
With that, I'd like to call up, please, Ryan Deckert from the Oregon Business Association, Duncan Wise from the Oregon Business Council, and Eileen Drake from PCC Structural Special Metals Corporation, please.
I've seen this guy before.
Welcome to each one of you. Thank you so much for coming out today.
Oh, okay.
Please decide among yourselves who's going to go first.
Do you want to go? 1, 2, 3.
Sure. You want to start? I'll be brief. Mr. Chair, thank you. Ryan Deckert, President of the Oregon Business Association. We are a statewide business organization that represents everyone from the largest farm in the state to Oregon's largest employer and many in between. I believe the largest farm is in Representative Huffman, the Vice Chair's district, Three Mile Canyon Farm. And perhaps I will use my brief comments, Mr. Chair, to say two things. One is, and it answers the Vice Chair's question, how do we, the enthusiasm that employers have expressed for the career readiness certificate and that the work that this committee is doing has been almost unbridled. Just last night, meeting with Conway, I think the largest trucking firm, one of the largest in the West, I was walking through the whole budgetary environment in Salem and some of the options that you unfortunately have before you with this budget. And then I mentioned the workforce development agenda that this committee has and the career readiness certificate. And it was the one moment of let's get that done. Can we get that part done? And it answers Representative Huffman's question of how do we roll this out in a way that manages expectations for employers. I think you will find, and you'll hear from Mr. Wise and from Precision Cast Parts or PCC Structurals on the ground data around it, but it is how do we now manage expectations for employers across the state that I think are very, very interested and intrigued how that we can get this rolling. And the only other comment that I would make is I think, and if you look at the amendment, page 3, line 4, it talks about the interim legislative committee that would be have jurisdiction. And having watched workforce development, one thing that we've lacked historically that this committee could really provide, and I hope the composition of this committee stays the same and becomes that interim committee on line 4, page 3, is how do we marry the business community with the community college and the executive department and legislative leadership. And finally, I think your committee now provides a home of where we can marry these efforts from the Solar Worlds and the Vestas to the Conways. And where do we have a home and a legislative home to have these discussions as we get out of this recession and want to push an agenda forward? With that, Mr. Chair, I will pass it over.
Good morning, Chair Witt and committee members. I am Eileen Drake, Vice President, Administration and Legal Affairs for the PCC Structurals Unit of Precision Cast Parts Corp. And very pleased to have the opportunity to speak to you this morning, although I learned about this only a couple days ago and did not return from China until midday yesterday, so I'm a bit jet-lagged. I have not had the opportunity to study the amendments much. But I would note that the last time I was here, I commented that one thing that was missing from 2398 was the career readiness certificate. So thank you very much for filling that gap. I recognize that this is a time of very difficult choices and decisions for the state about where we put our efforts, where we devote our resources for the next few years. And this is one of the right priorities for us to focus on. This is, in fact, an important way that we can bring together industry and the education community to promote and support greater workforce opportunities for the citizens of Oregon. One of the things that has been missing over the years is a closer correlation between our educational programs and the assessment tools that employers need to make decisions on who to hire for the jobs that they do have available. This fills that gap. in ways that no other tools that we've seen over the years can do. And in fact, our company and some other companies independently started looking at work keys over the last few years as a tool for us. So it's delightful to see something actually coming together that has the support of the education community and industry with an equal amount of enthusiasm on both sides. I wanted to just make a couple of other comments about this. We've talked about the fact that this is a good tool from the education perspective and from industry perspective, but it's also an outstanding way to introduce our high school students to the concepts of what it takes, what's required to be a successful employee in whatever career path they choose. And that is a significant challenge for us as we talk about trying to find ways to encourage students to complete their high school education and go on for additional education. This is part of the youth education roadmap for the state, and I don't think we want to underestimate how valuable the CRC can be in helping us to achieve that objective. I'm going to defer on other comments. Janice Chandler, one of our senior HR professionals at Precision Castparts, is here today to talk a little bit more about her direct experience with this tool, so I won't get into more of that. So I want to finish up by talking about another component of 2398, if I may, and that is the summer youth programs. And again, I want to thank you for recognizing the importance of holding on to that piece, particularly at this time in our state. The summer youth programs are a critical piece for us, and I just wanted to let you know that a little bit later this month or in early May, our company is going to be sitting down with Work Systems and representatives from POIC to talk about not if we can create summer youth jobs, but how many summer youth jobs we will be creating in our company for this summer to put our students to work. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Duncan Wise. I'm president of the Oregon Business Council, and I also want to briefly speak on as my role of chair of the State Board of Education, and I'll come to that in a minute. But I just want to concur with everything both Ryan and Eileen have said. This is a hugely exciting opportunity, and I mean, it is a way to connect employers with educators in a way that there's a common language and a common certificate that's been very well documented nationally. When you have a template that shows a young person or an adult the level of wages that you can earn at different levels of certification from bronze through gold, and you can see that gold suddenly will lead you to a much higher wage job potentially, that's motivating. And when you also understand that you can pretty easily assess yourself, and by the way, I encourage you to take the assessment. I took the math one, and it's a challenging assessment. I want to stress, and really I encourage you to take it. It is not simple, you know, remedial skills. At the high end of this certificate, you're talking about pretty tricky math problems and challenging math problems, and it gives a whole array of skills. And then when you understand that these skills are linked to literally thousands of jobs that have been carefully documented, you have a very powerful tool for employers, but also for individuals and for educators to use. And that's the magic of this. And if we can make it available statewide and make it a common currency statewide, we have a huge opportunity at a relatively low cost to make a big difference. I assume, Vice Chair Huffman, that your question about marketing was you usually don't ask that question unless you have some enthusiasm for the product, so I'm glad you asked it, and I share your, that's a big deal. We have, in our shop at Oregon Business Council and our affiliate E3, Employers for Education Excellence, have taken this up, and Renee Leger, who's in the audience, is actually focusing right now on building a marketing plan focusing on employers. We're very committed to this, and we're working through that with our board just to try to figure out how we can be most helpful. We need to sell this to individuals and the education community, the workforce community. We also need to sell it to employers and build that marriage. And it is a statewide collaboration, and we're going to work very carefully and fully with the community colleges and the workforce system to make this happen. Now, turning to the education, Board of Education, it's particularly in the K-12, as Eileen mentioned, this is also a very powerful way to connect with youth. And we are actively looking at career readiness certificate as one way way to document essential skills for the high school diploma. And so, again, you've got a system that can then weave not only into the workforce system as to the, for the adults, but also into the high school. And where it's been tested in Lebanon, it's very popular, and now there are a couple other test pilots coming online, and I think it's going to be very attractive, again, because it helps illustrate to young people why they need to learn these skills and a way, and a pathway to learn them. So, again, we're very excited. Thank you for your leadership. Really hope you can support this bill and move forward on this very exciting project. Thanks.
Thank you very, very much. Questions for our panel? Please, Representative Holby.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe not so much a question, but a comment. I think throughout this process, you know, we've been very... very lucky to keep our eye on the ball as far as trying to get people ready for work, you know, and build that work ethic. And we heard that time and time again from business and companies that, you know, they were looking for somebody that was really, you know, had the skills and were ready to go to work. At the same time, the one piece that I've spoken to before in this committee for the last couple of years that I think is really not said in this bill, but you have touched on it actually, and so I just wanted to reiterate this because it's so important that as we, you know, build these resources and skills for kids and young adults to get into the workforce, that there's a culture in industry that makes a position available for entry level, that makes a commitment to having trainees or apprentices or kids in their particular businesses. Those job opportunities have to exist to keep this kind of a program going. And so if industry and business says, well, you know, we just can't afford the production loss by trying to train somebody on the job or get them up to speed, you know, this program won't succeed. And so I think that culture that you mentioned of industry stepping up and saying, yes, we're going to take advantage of this and provide some opportunities for people to get in to that entry level and have a pathway to become a higher wage person within that organization, so important. And that culture in industry has to step up, I think, and I'm glad that you recognize that, at least in this panel, because that's part of the marketing, I think, that it is so essential that employers recognize we have to make a commitment inside of our industry that provides those opportunities within their financial and fiscal requirements of their own companies. So thank you.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hovey, I think that's a very important point. One of the tools that's already in use is a commitment statement for employers to sign, acknowledging the importance of the CRC and making a commitment to ask for that certification, to use that as part of their selection and advancement process within their company. But I absolutely agree that there is much more that we can do, and I think we can do it through our business associations and through the marketing effort on the CRC, because that's a critical piece. This will not succeed as a useful tool unless industry steps up and agrees to make use of it in the right way.
Representative Dembro.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And thank you all for your enthusiastic support for this. It's obviously it's a program with a lot of potential. And a potential not just as a standalone, but integrated into existing systems. And so, Duncan, to your last comments about the integration within the K-12 system, I'm really intrigued with that, and the use of the CRC or the work keys as a way of assessing career readiness as part of the diploma. Can you say? Are you very familiar with this with what has been happening in Lebanon? That could you talk just a little bit more about it in terms of what level of proficiency are we looking at for fulfilling career readiness? Is it bronze, silver, gold? And you know, how does that fit in potentially into a kind of career/education ladder?
Briefly, and there are probably others in the audience who have the Lebanon. I've heard of it. I haven't been immersed in Lebanon, but there was a pilot with a group of, I recall, around 20 students who were asked to participate in it, and I think all of them reached, nearly all of them reached the gold standard through the process. And the issue we're facing in the state board is what level, whether to use it, and at what level would document the essential skills for a high school diploma. And recall, the high school diploma, we're asking all students to be able to read, write, apply math, and speak as essential skills for the diploma. And we've said there'll be a variety of assessments to use. So our team, Doug Costi and all in the department, is looking at a variety of assessments, including this one. And we will have recommendations in, I believe, June on what level to establish. And it'll be a pretty challenging level. But one way to document your essential skills, I think for a lot of young people, it'll be a very powerful way because of that connection, they can see the direct connection with employment and jobs.
Great. And let me just say, I really like the idea of this being used for all students, right? Not creating silos.
Exactly.
These are the, the career students.
Sure.
These are the college transfer students.
And, Mr. Chair, Representative Denver, we have had some conversations about that. And, again, it is generally perceived as an employer base. But, again, I've taken the test. I would argue, I'm going to ask the colleges to take a look at the assessments. These aren't easy tests. I don't want you to have the view. They do test, I would say, more of applied skills, and they don't have some of the higher level, for example, mathematical reasoning skills. But take the test. I think if you find yourself at the gold level, you're going to say, you've got some significant math skills, and I would argue some essential math skills. Again, they aren't exactly the same as you might see in a college-based pathway, but again, I think it's a pretty good way to document learning.
And Representative Denver, I think that's a very important point because, again, with the benefit of Commissioner Price's insistence, the amendment does read certify the workplace and college readiness skills, and so the intent really here is to apply it to the entire student body. And you're absolutely right. We need to avoid those silos. Representative Esquivel.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Does that mean that CAM's going to be around giving us a test after this? How do we prepare for this? The interesting thing about this is it dovetails into exactly what this committee has been up against and the feedback we've received. It dovetails very well with what the objective of this Workforce Development Committee is, and I'm pretty excited about it. So let's go forward.
Well, we still have this committee. I know there are others that probably chief among them, John Chandler, is going to be speaking to other aspects of the amendment. I'm just curious, as business and education leaders, the amendment provides for pilot programs that would allow for the development of curricula around architecture, construction, and engineering. Taking a look at the ACE model that several schools in the Portland area have been involved in, along with business and labor in those communities. And we had several students that appeared before our committee, and their enthusiasm for this project and for their education was unsurpassed in terms of any testimony that we've heard this session. And it allows students to focus on particular skill levels, curricula that they have an interest in pursuing as a career, and also an ability while they're studying perhaps construction to apply mathematics, to learn reading skills and English skills along the way. And I'm just would you comment please on what value you might see in that those kinds of pilot programs?
Mr. Chair, I think one of the challenges that we've had in our educational institutions over the last several decades is reestablishing the sense of relevance and the connection between education and what you do with that education. And I've made this comment before. The primary purpose of education is not more education. The primary purpose of education is preparing people to work. And we seem to have lost sight of that a number of years ago with the noble goal of increasing the number of students who complete a four-year university course, but we've done that at the expense of connecting students to the idea of what they can do at different stages of their life and different stages of their educational development. So programs like this start to bring that connection back into place, start to teach our children what they can do with their education, and that's really what education is about.
I think this is critical. I mean, the whole education strategy for the state has to include applied learning. I mean, if I've been, you know, Cal, ACE, all the Center for Advanced Learning, if we don't have contextual learning as an option to help motivate students, you will not achieve the 40-40-20 goal. It's, I mean, you talk to those students and they're motivated.
Yes, they are.
You heard them, and we forget how talented high school students are and what they can do if you just give them real work to take on, and they will, and it accelerates the academic learning by focusing on applied if you do it right, and that's the prize for Oregon. I totally agree with you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Escobar.
Very briefly here, I think you hit on a very, very nerve that just really resonates here. It's true, we have excelled and tried to get everyone through a four-year degree, but it's the expense of 82% of our children, because 18% of them graduate out of college that enter high school. So what are the losses?
Representative Dunbrough?
Yeah, just quickly, I do have to just say for the record, you know, of course, and it goes without saying that the sole purpose of education is not work, preparing for work. You know, we want to create good citizens and members of a global world, and all of that as well. I'm sure you agree. Yes.
Mr. Chair, if I could say one other thing, is that one of the benefits of the work of this committee and this amendment is the simplicity also. As I've heard from both employees and employers and students, it is, I can't follow the flow chart on workforce development, Ryan. And what this provides is, I can now. I now can follow the flow chart. And so as we go forward, I do think simplicity, both for the consumer, for the company, should be paramount in our minds, because that's been one of the chief complaints, and this has been a quiver in that arrow, or I'm going to screw that metaphor up.
Ryan, we did the charting earlier over here. I drove everybody crazy while we were doing that, but there was method to the madness, and hopefully it actually has made it easier. Vice Chair Huffman.
Thank you, Chair Witt. Connected to what Representative Dunbrough said, and I wasn't going to pounce on you, but you know, one of the benefits, and I really want to thank leadership on the record, because leadership now has two representatives on workforce development and education, and that's a critical link, and hopefully, I mean, I've heard it said a number of times, but I wanted to point out that there are two direct conduits, and because we're dealing with so many of the same things. You know, this last biennium we implemented mandatory 10th grade testing. And so on the record in this very room yesterday afternoon, I was reminding two of our leaders from our large high schools in Oregon, as they were talking about the purpose of mandatory 10th grade testing being to guide our students into these four-year degrees and stuff. And I let them say their piece, and then I said, okay, once again, I will say on the record, that's not the total purpose. Yes, we want to get as many degrees as we can, two-year, four-year, and beyond. However, we're trying to build successful citizens, life skills, skilling up. It's that integrated purpose. And so, Representative Dunbrough kind of set it in this committee, but we all have the same goal.
Thank you all very, very much.
Thank
and
you.
Certainly appreciate your support and your enthusiasm. It's infectious. You know, it was almost like pulling hen's teeth at points trying to get these amendments developed, but you're making it all worthwhile. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
I'd like to call up now, please, John Ostling from Cascade Steel, Kendra Cox from Blazer Industries, and Paul Weil from Portland Community College. Good morning and welcome to each of you. I'll let you determine among yourselves who goes the order of your presentations.
Chair Witt and members of the committee, my name is Kendra Cox. I'm with Blazer Industries in Almsville. Thank you for the opportunity to speak in support of House Bill 2398 and the Oregon Career Readiness Certificate. And I have to say, aside from this, I'm sort of just becoming familiar with all of this, but to hear about a program such as ACE, I can say that's something that I would have benefited. I was one of those kids that was very interested in architecture from an early age and kind of fell through the cracks, and I could have used that direction, and I hope to see that for other students.
Thank you.
I also have a high school senior who is sort of not sure what he's going to do, and the more the schools can support these kids, the better. Blazer Industries is a commercial modular building manufacturer. We employ 180 people. We're members of the Mid-Willamette High Performance and Secondary Woods Consortia, and we're working with workforce development through training and lean manufacturing leadership and other skills. We've really benefited from participating in those consortia. We would like to work with the state and the schools to ensure that students graduate ready to work, meaning that they're competent in reading and math, as well as having the ability to be productive in the work environment, and also as citizens, as you said. I did take the assessment a few months ago. I was very nervous. I found it somewhat rigorous. The questions start out what I thought were very easy, but they progressively got more difficult. So there were some questions that I couldn't answer. But I wanted to have an idea of what the assessment was so that we can bring it into our workplace and start deciding whether we can implement it or not. We are interested in the CRC as a benchmark for matching applicants to jobs. While a standardized test won't necessarily give a complete picture of a person, it will add information that a resume doesn't address. We are addressing training and soft skills in our consortia, so there's definitely a balance between knowledge and the ability to show up for work and be committed to doing a good job. Thank you for the opportunity to be involved in the state's efforts to improve the quality of our workforce. Do you have any questions?
Thank you very much, Kendra. I think what we'll do is we'll let the two gentlemen get through their presentations, and then we'll ask you questions as a panel. Thank you so much. Gentlemen?
Well, I was thinking business first, then independent education.
Thank you, Chairman Witt, members of the committee. My name is John Ostling. I am from McMinnville, Oregon. I'm the training guy at Cascade Steel, a wholly owned subsidiary of Snitzer Steel in Portland, Oregon. We are, up until recently, we were the largest recycler in the state of Oregon at over 1 million tons. And we also were pretty much the largest employer in the Tri-County area, providing family living wages for 542 employees, offering wages that start at, for our production people at $16 an hour, go to $26 an hour. We have an internal apprenticeship program for the United Steelworkers and our craftspeople, and we support crafts development within the community and all the school programs. I'm one of the graduates of the crafts when they were still in the schools. And at our last year, I'll tell you a little story here. It talks about the CRC. Last year, we were in need of hiring 8 production employees. The challenge is, in a company, how at a larger company like ours, not a huge one, but how to go through all of the applicants. We have over 200 applicants for 8 positions, how to do it in timely fashion, and how to provide credibility to the people that they're going to the managers they're going to go work for, and also to the recipients that will be employed. So we do participate, like Kendra, in a number of consortiums. Those are very productive, and appreciate your support of those activities. I worked with the Workforce Board and Elaine Crawley, and we came up and implemented a program for the CRC in the McMinnville Worksource Center. Realizing that, as Kendra indicated, the CRC is only one piece of the package, that there are other elements that we're concerned with when they come into the workforce, we expanded that to implement an existing tool in the workforce arsenal, and that is the AccuVision assessment. The key element that we wanted to focus on was actually teamwork. Not only is it important to have core knowledge to go into the workforce, but to be able to play well with others. If you can't create a homogeneous mixture of people to enable that agile workforce, it's very difficult for the employee not only to move within the body, but also to develop and interact with other people. So we took those that number of applicants, we sent letters out to them all. The first 72 that responded were granted the ability to complete the CRC test. We noticed a couple of things. We noticed the recipients were ranging in age from right out of high school all the way to in the 50s. Some of them were challenged with their computer literacy, their abilities to operate a mouse, and other things. Through the people at the WorkSource and Elaine, we actually provided the assistance to let them complete the test. Out of those 72 people, we then screened them down to 16, and from those 16, we provided interviews for all of them. We hired 8, and at the 5-month juncture, our general foreman and superintendent said that they were some of the best employees that they'd ever have come in the workforce. So it's a direct reflection on, we were, as I understand, the first employer to mandate this as part of the hiring process, and the success was self-evident.
Great. Thank you very much.
Great. Hi, my name is Paul Wild, and I'm the Director of Customized Workplace Training at Portland Community College, and I'm an enthusiastic supporter of the CRC and the WorkKey system. I speak from the perspective of someone who's been running a contracted customized training program for incumbent workers for 12 years and have been an enthusiastic user of the WorkKey system and the CRC, or dreaming about the CRC for the last 10 years. And so given the shortness of time, I wanted to focus on one primary point, and that's to follow up on what Duncan Wise said, which is the idea of creating a common language around skills, skill sets, and proficiencies, something that anyone in education, business, at any level can understand, and then you can work across using that common language of skills and skill sets. Going away from job titles and the focus on job titles in industries, and thinking more in terms of bundles of skills, bundling them together, seeing what's common. And based upon that, you can think in terms of efficiencies within the educational system, the workforce system, and across industries. So that's that I think, is the, from my perspective of someone who's used this for the last 10 years, that's one of the main take-home points I think is very effective. Two specific examples. One, as someone who provides contracted training in the workplace, on a fee-for-service basis, we need to make sure that we're efficient in what we do. I'm always happy when I can use WorkKeys and this, and I hope we'll now be able to use the CRC, because you can quickly identify what the needs are in terms of skills and skill sets. And then if you have employees who have the CRC, you can now link the needs, find out where people are, and take them where they need to go very efficiently and quickly using that common language. Secondly, something that was referred to earlier was this ability also, because of the changing economic environment and the fact that industries are being born and dying quickly, the educational system needs to be able to, in real time, create training programs that are effective and targeted. If you use a system with a common language, such as work keys, and also this, you have the CRC to back it up so you know what people's current skill sets are, you can very quickly identify what needs are, develop training programs and educational programs in real time before the need is actually felt by industry. We've been able to do that. I recently had the good fortune to work with Genentech and the bioscience industry. We were able to proactively work with these companies to identify what their needs are using the WorkKeys system, and then also develop and adapt existing education programs and training programs to meet those needs in real time. Also, what's fun about this is we're now going to be able to see the commonalities using this system between, for example, the bioscience or biotech industry, the solar industry, advanced manufacturing industries, and be able to develop training programs that at a core level meet all their needs, and then people will be able to quickly move between those systems if necessary in those industries. So that's an example that we've used very successfully, and we anticipate using it also as we're gearing up to put together green jobs and to put together training programs, both pre-employment and incumbent worker. And we will be using, we'll continue to use the WorkKeys system now with the CRC on top of that. When people are coming into and as candidates and looking to companies, they'll be able to quickly establish what their skill sets are and whether or not they are job ready for entry level jobs or even for pre-employment training programs that will then prepare them to go into jobs. Thank you very much. If you have any questions.
Thank you very much. Before I open it up for just a very, very brief moment here of questions, I'd like to announce to everyone that because of the governor's signing ceremony, I'm going to be adjourning the subcommittee here very shortly, in literally just a couple of minutes. We are going to continue our work session on Tuesday, and my apologies for anyone who came a considerable distance to testify today. The good side of this coin is that the governor recognizes the importance of career-ready certificates as well as applied learning models, and we'll be using today as an occasion to underscore that. So my apologies to you all. We will continue this process on Tuesday. We will take a testimony from those of you who are able to return, as well as we may even have an opportunity for an additional person or two.
Chairman Witt, members of the committee, that is correct. This will be coming up tomorrow, or rather on Tuesday, not tomorrow, Tuesday. And feel free to contact me. I know there's some other people, I think, that have interest in the bill beyond just the CRC, and obviously those people will be welcome to speak. Please contact my office or Keith if you have an interest, and we can put together, I guess, a playlist of individuals who would like to speak on Tuesday. So.
Thank you. And with that, brief questions or comments for this panel. Yes, Representative Dembra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Paul, it's great to see you. And I want to thank you for the chart that you attached to this. I find this a very useful graphic for seeing how the different skills sort of build on each other. And I just wanted to say I was just a couple of weeks ago at one of the PCC Workforce Training Centers and saw students working on work keys in a kind of open lab setting, and they were very enthusiastic about it. You know, they really feel that they're working on something concrete and, you know, being coached by instructors there, and it seemed like a very good model.
Thank you. Anything further? Thank you so very, very much for coming today. It's critically important that we hear from the employer community and make sure that we're making those connections that will be helpful to you. So thank you again. With that, I am going to close the today's work session. We will carry that over till Tuesday, continuing. So. I'm going to end today's work session. Kevin, coming events.
Once again, on Tuesday, we'll be revisiting this bill and also 2951. I was approached by a member of DCBS who expressed some potential interest in testifying with respect to that, so we will have that on calendar on Tuesday. One quick note, I've been advised that 2732, our little task force that could, as well as 3256, this was the military bill, are both coming before the Business and Labor Committee tomorrow morning for Representative Denver and I guess Representative Huffman, who are not on the committee. I understand you will be invited or encouraged to come if you so choose. So,
and those who would like to attend the governor's ceremony, it is on the second floor in the old caucus room over on the Senate side. Anything else for the good of the order? We stand adjourned until Tuesday.